This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His assistance. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within ourselves and from the evil of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide him. Yet whomever he allows to go astray, none can guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except in the state of Islam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed achieved a great achievement. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is about what we learned in the month of Ramadan. And as you all know, the purpose of Ramadan is that so we can acquire some good habits and excel in acts of worship and abandon some bad habits, and we'll continue that for the rest of the year. The purpose of Ramadan is that we change during the month and we continue that change for the rest of the year. And we spent this last month close to the Qur'an, close to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly reciting it, learning it, memorizing and contemplating its meanings. And the question is, did we continue that close relationship with the Qur'an after the month of Ramadan? Did we immediately continue reciting a juz of the Qur'an every single day? Someone sent a text message reminder, and it said, today is the third day of Eid. Are you on the third juz of the Qur'an? Today is the third day of Eid. Are you on the third juz of the Qur'an? But who thinks like that? Who thinks that today is the day of Eid? I have to do my juz of the Qur'an. We're into the next month, and every month I finish reciting a juz every single day, and I finish reciting the whole Qur'an every month. How many people thought that today I have to do my juz on the day of Eid? It was a vacation day, it was a day off. The second day, how many people thought, I need to get back with my Qur'an? But for many, unfortunately, it went back on the shelf until next Ramadan, or maybe just until a few days after Eid. So the scholars say, when you love someone, you love their speech. That's why you listen to what your children say. Even if it's nonsensical and doesn't make sense, you love their speech because you love them. Someone will speak to their fiancé for hours upon hours because they love them. They don't get tired of what they're saying. So the scholars say, we all claim to love Allah Azza wa Jal. How much do we love the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You never get tired of the speech of the one that you love. You listen to them for hours upon hours. Do we get tired from listening or from reciting the Qur'an, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when someone would give him a copy of the Qur'an as a gift, because as you know back then, they didn't have printing presses, so it was a rarity to get a copy of the Qur'an. Someone would have painstakingly written the whole thing out with his hand. So when someone would give him a copy of the Qur'an, he would hold it to his chest, press it against his chest. And he would say, Kitabu Rabbi, the book of my Lord, the book of my Lord. You can see just from his words how much he loves the Qur'an, how much he loves the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If during the month of Ramadan, you sat down for 3 hours straight reciting the Qur'an, putting effort for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reality is you weren't doing anything for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was doing something great for you. By sitting down and reciting the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was fixing you up inside, was improving you as a believer and as a human being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Sad, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. A blessed book that we sent down to you so that they may contemplate its verses. And that is what it's about, contemplating the verses and the meanings of the Qur'an, because first and foremost, it is a book of guidance. It was said that some students of knowledge came to the late and great scholar, Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz, rahimahullah, and they said, Ya Sheikh, give us advice. So he advised them to memorize the book of Allah. They said, after we memorize the book of Allah, what do you advise? He says, memorize the books of hadith. They said, inshallah, after we finish memorizing the books of hadith, what do you advise? He said, after that, contemplate the Qur'an. And they said, after that, what do you recommend? And the Sheikh just smiled, rahimahullah. Meaning, you are never done contemplating the Qur'an. There's no way you're going to be done contemplating the Qur'an and move on to something else. It never ever ends. One of the early Muslims, he had a walima at his home. He had a feast, a gathering in his home. And he says the occasion is that after 20 years, he finally completed reciting the Qur'an. Khatamtul Qur'an, he says, after 20 years. So they asked, what do you mean after 20 years? It took you 20 years to finish reciting the Qur'an? He says, wallahi, I never passed by a verse except that I asked myself, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want from me from this verse? So what he meant is that he is going through a slow contemplation of the Qur'an, and it took him 20 years to do one khatm, to complete it once. Because it's not about singing it through and going through it quickly, but it's about contemplating its meanings. So it took him 20 years, and he paused at every single verse. What is the lesson? What is required of me when it comes to this verse? Do I act upon this verse or not? Or do I ignore this verse? And that's the kind of khatm that he completed, and it took him 20 years to complete it. Again, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the companion, he used to advise people on how to recite and how to read the Qur'an. And he would say, do not sing it along like poetry. Do not rush through it, but pause and contemplate its meanings. وَلَا يَكُنْ هَمُّ أَحَدِكُمْ آخِرَ السُّورَةِ He said, and do not let the concern of one of you be the end of the surah. Someone would sit down and say, I'm not going to get up until I finish reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. So they put a bookmark at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. And every few minutes, they see how thick, how many pages left until the end. And then you keep checking every now and then. How much more until the end? Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, don't let the concern of one of you be the end of the surah. That's not what it's about. But contemplate its meanings. Read through it carefully. And you will find more pleasure and more enjoyment in doing so than when you're just trying to get through and get rid of it. People trying to see, how much more do I have for this juz? Counting the pages and looking back every time. But don't let that be your concern, was the advice of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ And fear Allah, and Allah will teach you. And that's why the scholar said, so many people come expecting to be moved by the Qur'an, but nothing happens. And they argue, how can you be moved by the words of the Qur'an if you have thrown the values of the Qur'an behind your back? And so many times people will come to the masjid and say, I didn't feel the salah today. Or the imam didn't do it for me today. Or this imam doesn't do it for me. It is not about the imam, it is about you. So if you have completely turned your back on the values and the meanings and the lessons of the Qur'an, then what are the chances that just the words of the Qur'an are going to move anyone? Brothers and sisters in Islam, our body, we are composed of the body and the spirit. That's who we are. A body and spirit in connection. When that connection breaks, that's when it's death. So the body, the scholars say, was created from earth. The soil was taken from this earth. Our bodies were created from this earth. And therefore, taking care of our bodies and whatever brings peace to our bodies will be from this earth. So eating from this earth. Food, drink is from this earth. Sleeping, everything that takes care of our bodies is from this earth. But the second part of what we're composed of is the spirit. And the spirit did not come from this earth. The spirit came from the heavens. And so the scholar said that because the spirit came from the heavens, whatever will take care of the spirit, whatever will bring peace to the spirit, must also come from the heavens. And by that, they are referring to the Qur'an. So that means whatever brings peace to our bodies will be from the heavens, and that would be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before reciting the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in Surah An-Nahl, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ So when you're about to recite the Qur'an, seek refuge with Allah from الشيطان الرجيم. الاستعاذة, seeking refuge with Allah عز وجل, it means الالتجاء والاعتصام والتحصن. It means turning towards or turning to Allah عز وجل, holding fast to Allah عز وجل and seeking protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have been taught that when you recite the Qur'an sends away the shaytan. So you would imagine this by virtue of reciting the Qur'an, it would send away the shayateen. So why do I begin by seeking refuge with Allah from ash-shaytan ar-rajim when I recite the Qur'an, if the Qur'an itself is supposed to send away the shayateen? But not only that, if you look also at the dua of entering the masjid, in one of the du'as of entering the masjid in Sunan Abu Dawood, you say, أعوذ بالله العظيم وبوجهه الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم. You're invoking and you're calling upon powerful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, describing him by these powerful attributes, to seek refuge with Allah azza wa jal from a shaitan al-rajim as you're entering the masjid. You would imagine this should be a dua because it's so powerful that you should recite before you enter a wicked area, a place of haram, because the shaitan will be there for sure. But why am I reciting this powerful dua as I'm entering the house of Allah, as if the shaitan are sitting there? But the answer is in the Qur'an and from Iblis himself, where he says in the Qur'an, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He says, because of what you have caused me to be misguided with, I will sit and lay in wait for them. I will sit in waiting for them on صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, on your straight path. So yes, the shaitan will wait for the believers where they go. They frequent the masajid. They recite the Qur'an. And he'll be waiting in them on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will not wait for them in the places of haram where they don't go. He'll be waiting for them in the places of good where they go. And that's why we seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan as we're entering the masjid. We seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan as we begin the recitation of the Qur'an, because he is going to come and try to put you to sleep. And that's one of the fastest things that put people to sleep. You start reciting the Qur'an, in 5 minutes the person is snoring, because the shaitan is trying to take you away from it. Or he will try to confuse your understanding and whisper to you as you're reciting the Qur'an. That's why you seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal before reciting. Or he will try to take your attention away from the Qur'an, or get you bored, or give you other ideas, or remind you of other things. All of this is an effort to keep you away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the job of the shaitan. And that's why we seek refuge with Allah even before we begin to recite the Qur'an. So his job is to take us away from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you have abandoned the Qur'an after Ramadan, that means the shaitan is successful in his job. Ramadan made us better people, made us better worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made us better believers. And abandoning the Qur'an is an indication that we didn't learn the lesson of Ramadan. We're supposed to pick up good habits and acts of worship, acquire them during the month, so that we will continue with them throughout the rest of the year. And it's not as many people believe that you have lifestyle A, which is how you live outside of Ramadan, and then lifestyle B, which is how you are in Ramadan. And then once Eid comes, you return back to lifestyle A. So brothers and sisters, then a reminder to myself and to you. Let us not abandon the Qur'an. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Surely those who ask for his forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Besides acquiring the good habit of reciting the Quran during the month of Ramadan, we also fell in love with giving charity and giving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحسن البصري رحمه الله, he used to say, ما نعلم عملا أشد من مكابدة الليل ونفقة هذا المال. He said, in Islam, we don't know of any act that is more difficult than struggling against the night, meaning the qiyam, the night prayer, وَنَفَقَةِ هَذَا الْمَالِ, and spending of this wealth. He's saying these are of the most difficult things, to fight against night prayer and to spend of this wealth. And that is the nature of how people are. We want to gather and keep and store our wealth. And the idea is to keep it here and not spend it that way. And that's why the scholars say, if you look at the word sadaqah for charity, why was it given this name, sadaqah? And they say, because لِأَنَّهَا تُؤَكِّدُ صِدْقَ الْإِنسَانِ. If you're not giving it to show off, if you're not giving it for any other reason than that, then you are, it's showing how truthful you are. If you're not giving it to show off, then you're only giving it because you're truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's unnatural. What our nature is to keep. But when you're giving away, that means that you're going against your nature. And you're only doing that because you're truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تؤكد صدق الإنسان. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave so many advantages, so many bonuses that come out of giving in charity. That the charity that you give, it will protect you. You will be under its shade on the day of judgment. So whatever you give in charity, it will come to shade you on the day of resurrection, a day in which there is no shade except that provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of the advantages of giving in sadaqah. Likewise, the sadaqah decreases the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sunan At-Tirmidhi, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna as-sadaqa latutfi'u ghadaba ar-Rabb." That indeed the charity extinguishes the anger of the Lord, the anger of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Latutfi'u," An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Tutfi'u ghadaba ar-Rabb." He didn't say it decreases the anger of Allah, but tutfi' extinguishes. The same word used for putting the fire out. So Allah's anger is completely put out by your sadaqah. Another advantage. And in the same hadith, at the end of the hadith, وَتَدْفَعُ مَيْتَةَ السُّءِ. And it pushes away a bad death. No doubt every single one of us, we want to have a good end on this earth. And we want to die doing what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Giving charity is one of the ways to ensure that we die a good death. And in another hadith narrated by At-Tabarani, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Masani'u al-ma'ruf taqi masari' as-su'." That doing the good deeds will prevent bad endings. And sadaqah is one of those things. You give in charity, another one of the bonuses, you will not have a bad end on this earth, inshallah. It extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be under its shade on the day of judgment. And the sadaqah will bring blessings, will bring more blessings to your wealth, more barakah to your wealth. It goes a longer way. And it increases your wealth at the same time. And not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you give in charity, gives it back to you. As an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith, "Ma naqasa malum min sadaqah." So that charity does not decrease any wealth. And whatever you give, you see it coming back to you. And in Ramadan, there were so many people who gave. And some of them were very poor. And they gave for the masjid, and they gave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they would come and tell the stories of how instantly they got their money back. One taxi cab driver, he donated $1,000 to the masjid. And he comes back and he tells me that on a good day, he will make $250. On the best day ever, he'll make $250. But usually he makes about $150 maximum. And very few rare days he will make $250, and that's one of the best days ever. He said, "I gave this $1,000 for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the next day I made $443. Double the best he's ever made. He made it the next day. And the day after that I made over $400. Instantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for him to give back that money. Instantly. So the question is then, why this arrangement? Why this arrangement? All of this, all these bonus points are just so that we learn to become brave and trust Allah Azza wa Jal and give when it's required of us to give. That's why all these bonus points. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal gives it back to you. That's why all the bonus points on the day of resurrection and increasing the wealth and blessings. Just so that we can learn to keep giving and not fear when it's time to give. The scholars say, it is all well known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ate from charity. And I think every Muslim knows this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ate sadaqah. The question is, why didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam eat sadaqah? Why is it that he never ate from wealth or food that was given as a charity? Because the scholars say a sadaqah muzijat bidhunub. Yani the sadaqah was mixed with sins. When you give $100, that $100, if you could see, it's mixed with your sins. It is completely covered and it's taking your sins away with it. So if you want to get rid of some of your sins, the way to get rid of them, your sins attach themselves to your wealth. So you have sins you want to get rid of, give money away. And as you give that money away, that money will go covered and wrapped. It's sticky. It takes your sins with it. So they said then, that it does not befit the greatest prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to eat of food that comes mixed with the sins of people. The point for us from this is that we understand now that the sadaqat take away our sins. Someone gives charity away and it comes with their sins with them. So you want to get rid of some of your sins, get rid of it along with your wealth. And when it comes to the question of your wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur uses some very interesting language to encourage us to give of our wealth. And He does not call it your wealth. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَآتُوهُم مِّن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ, and give them from Allah's wealth that He has given you. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to encourage you to give people from your money. He doesn't say give them from your wealth. He says give them from Allah's wealth that He's keeping with you. And brothers and sisters, that is the reality of whatever money we have in our pockets right now, and whatever money we have in our bank accounts right now. We believe it's ours. We hold fast to a $100 bill. This is my $100 bill. But a few weeks ago, it was in someone else's hand, and he was holding fast to it, saying, this is my $100 bill. And in a few days, you're going to give it to some store owner. They're going to put it in their register, and they're going to protect it because it's their $100 bill. But the truth is, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's money. And it just travels amongst us constantly. So it will leave you no matter what. It might as well leave you taking away its sins, giving you all the bonus points, giving you all the blessings, and leave you while you're conscious of it, and you're the one who gave it away for the sake of Allah. Because it's going to leave anyways. And it's Allah's money, and it just rotates amongst us. وَآتُوهُمْ مِن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ, and give them from Allah's wealth that He has given you. And the final reminder, yes, we learned to love to give in charity for the sake of Allah in the month of Ramadan, and we should continue to do that for the rest of the year. With all the bonus points, they remain for the rest of the year as well. And we want to learn also to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what we love. If someone is in need of charity, someone is asking for help from the sake of Allah, people put their hands in their pocket, and they find bills, and they find coins. And a lot of times people will take the coins, and they would give that for the sake of Allah, or the whatever they dislike. But give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from what you love. And that is the test. And like Al-Hasan al-Basri said, rahimahullah, this is the difficulty here, learning to give. And we've got all these bonus points, and every single one of us probably has a story where they gave, and the money came back to them within just a few days. And yet still, when the next time comes, they're sometimes a little bit afraid to give. Just as we were brave in giving in charity in Ramadan, just as we were conscious of giving in charity in Ramadan, just as we love to give in charity during the month of Ramadan, the whole point of Ramadan is so we can acquire and keep these habits for the rest of the year. So continue to have a relationship with the Quran. Continue to get up for Qiyam every now and then. Continue to give in charity for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue to watch your words to make sure you don't lie and backbite and use profanity. That is the whole purpose of the month of Ramadan. As the scholars call it, a madrasa, which means a school. And you typically attend a school so that you can acquire habits and learn things that you will continue once you're done with the school. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all of our deeds and all of our fasting and all of our efforts during the past month of Ramadan, and to assist us and to make us of those who will be able to be in the next Ramadan and to accept our deeds then, inshallah. With that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَارْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ فَاللَّهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلَ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا وَلَا إِلَى النَّارِ مَصِيرَنَا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant victory to Islam and to the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant freedom to all the Muslims who are being held and dealt with unjustly around the world. And we ask Allah azza wa jal to grant victory and ease for the Muslims in Syria, and for the Muslims in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and for the Muslims in Burma and in Bangladesh and in Palestine and in Kashmir and in Yemen and in all parts of the world, ya Rabbal Alameen. فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Just the lines at the back of the room, make sure the ends of the line in front of you are complete before you start a new line. And the sisters, you're also required to close the gaps. Do not pray separate from each other. Keep your lines tight. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum. Just a quick announcement tonight. We're going to start having our short lecture series again. Sheikh Omar should be teaching tonight after Maghrib. I think the class is called Valor. That'll be starting tonight. Sheikh Waleed class will start back in August. And that's all I can think of the announcements at the top of my head. One second. Okay, we're also getting construction on the roll outside of here, outside of Click. It's going to start today, and it's going to be going on till next week as well. And then, Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Okay, and the last announcement that I'll make, inshallah, Dr. Salah class will start this Tuesday as well. It already has started after Maghrib on Tuesdays. Jazakallah khair.
I'm